Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Harpreet Kapoor, the moderator of this call. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Nucleus Software quarterly earnings conference call for the quarter and year ended on 31st March 2022. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode. We will open the floor for Q&A post the presentation. So I would like to now hand over the proceedings to Swati Ahuja. Over to you, Swati.
Thanks, Harpreet. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Swati from the Investor Relations team at Nucleus Software. A very warm welcome to all of you for this Nucleus Software earnings conference call for the quarter and year ended on March 31st, 2022. For discussion, we have here from the management team, Mr. Vishnu R. Dusad, our Managing Director, Mr. Parag Bhise, CEO, Mr. Anurag Mantri, CFO and Executive Director, Ms. Ritika Dusad, Executive Director and Chief Innovation Officer, Mr. Ashwini Arora, Senior Vice President, Global Customer Success Team, Mr. Sanjeev Kulshreshtha, Senior Vice President, Product Build, Ms. Prema Rajaraman, Chief People Officer, Mr. Ashish Khanna, Business Head, Financial Inclusion, Mr. Tapan Jayaswal, colleague from the finance team. As you all are aware, Nucleus Software does not provide any specific revenue earning guidance. Anything which is said during this call, which may reflect our outlook for the future or which may be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. An audio and transcript of this call will be shortly available on the investor section of our website, www.nucleussoftware.com. With this, we are now ready to begin with the opening comments on the performance of our company for the quarter and year ended March 31st, 2022. And post that, we would be available for the question-answer session. With this, I now pass over to Vishnu, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Swati. And thanks a lot and warm welcome to all of you for this investor call ending fourth quarter and financial year ending 31st March 2022. This was one of those toughest years when, despite the huge turbulences in the environment, we continued building our strength. And it is an indication of that is visible in the number that you have seen in this quarter. We do hope that we will continue to leverage our strengths of creating credibility in the marketplace through sincere work and continue to provide comfort to our customers and all other stakeholders for years to come. With those words, I would now like to hand over to Parag Bhise, our CEO.
Thank you very much, Vishnu, and good afternoon, everyone. And thank you very much for joining this call once again. As Vishnu said, and thanks to the efforts put in by the leadership team and the entire Nucleus team, we've seen a good quarter. From financial perspective, some of the initiatives that we have been taking in the past looks like starting to give us results. We continue to groom our fresh hires on our products. You'd remember we've been talking about hiring 400 plus freshers from campuses. So many of them have become part of our active workforce. While other batches are still under training, we continue to groom them on our products so that they become more and more productive. We have talked about significant increments in the past. We this year have advanced our annual increment cycle by 3 months to respond to market conditions. We just finished that exercise a couple of weeks back. We, however, continue to face challenges on the attrition front. That has not passed us despite two very significant increments that we have given. We are otherwise getting good traction from the market. We have started working from office in hybrid mode. Some of us are visiting daily, some 3 days a week, and rest still working from home. We also started visiting our customers and have started to maintain face-to-face connects with them, and which is giving us a perspective that they value our partnership, the service that we provide to them. So overall, a positive feeling from the market. That's about it from my side. Thank you.
Now I request Tapan sir to put some light on financial numbers.
Yes, sure. Good afternoon, everyone. Key highlights from financials are our consolidated revenue for the quarter is at rupees 153 crore against rupees 121.6 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 124.2 crore year on year. For the year, it is 497.2 crore against rupees 513.5 crore for the previous year. Overall revenue in foreign currency, including India rupees revenue, is US$20.6 million for the quarter against US$16.3 million quarter on quarter and US$16.9 million year on year. For the year, it is US$67.1 million against US$69.6 million for the previous year. Product revenue for the quarter is at rupees 129.6 crore against rupees 99 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 105 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 411.7 crore against rupees 430.2 crore for the previous year. Revenue from projects and services for the quarter is at rupees 23.5 crore against rupees 22.6 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 19.2 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 85.5 crore against rupees 83.4 crore for the previous year. As for expenses, cost of delivery, including cost of product development for the quarter, is 71.2% of revenue against 79.5% of revenue quarter on quarter and 63.6% of revenue year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 108.9 crore against rupees 96.7 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 79 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 386.7 crore, which is 77.8% of revenue against 332.7 crore, which is 64.8% of revenue for the previous year. Marketing and sales expenses for the quarter is 3.5% of revenue against 3.8% of revenue quarter on quarter and 3.7% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 5.4 crore against rupees 4.6 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 4.6 crore year on year. For the year, they are at rupees 20.2 crore against 15.5 crore for the previous year. G&A expenses for the quarter is 9.2% of revenue against 12.3% of revenue quarter on quarter and 7.3% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 14 crore against 14.9 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 9.1 crore year on year. For the year, they are at rupees 54.1 crore against 37.1 crore for the previous year. EBITDA for the quarter is at rupees 24.7 crore against 5.4 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 31.5 crore year on year. For the year, EBITDA is at rupees 36.2 crore against 128.1 crore in the previous year. Other income from investments and deposits at rupees 5.7 crore against 7.1 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 6.7 crore year on year. Total other income for the quarter is rupees 6.4 crore against rupees 8 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 7.2 crore year on year. For the year, other income from investments and deposits is at rupees 29.9 crore against rupees 34.3 crore for the previous year. Total other income for the year is at rupees 34.7 crore against rupees 39.6 crore for the previous year. Total taxes are at rupees 7.7 crore against rupees 1.4 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 8.2 crore year on year. For the year, taxes are at rupees 14.6 crore against rupees 35.9 crore in the previous year. Net profit is at rupees 18.3 crore for the quarter against 8 crore revenue quarter on quarter and rupees 27.4 crore Y on Y. For the year, it is 40.9 crore against 117.9 crore in the previous year. Other comprehensive income is at negative 5.7 crore for the quarter against negative 0.4 crore quarter on quarter and negative 1.5 crore year on year. For the year, it is at rupees 10.8 negative crore against positive 1.9 crore in the previous year. Total comprehensive income, which includes net profit and other comprehensive income, is at rupees 12.6 crore for the quarter against 7.6 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 25.9 crore year on year. For the year, it is at rupees 30.1 crore against 119.9 crore in the previous year. EPS for the quarter is at rupees 6.67 as against rupees 2.77 in the previous quarter and rupees 9.42 in March 31st, 2021 quarter. For the year, it is at rupees 14.28 against rupees 40.62 in the previous year. In terms of foreign currency hedges, on March 31st, 2022, we had USD $3.45 million forward contract at an average rate of 76.88. There is a mark-to-market gain of rupees 11.01 lakhs, which is taken to hedging reserve in the balance sheet. Revenue contribution from top 5 clients for the quarter is 29% against 23% in the previous quarter. The order book position is rupees 562.1 crore, including 515.3 crore of product business and 46.8 crore projects and services business. In December 31, 2021, the order book position was rupees 563.8 crore, including 541.4 crore of product business and 22.4 crore of project and services business. Total cash and cash equivalent as on March 31, 2022 are rupees 542.9 crore against 543.3 crore as on December 31, 2021. This includes balances in current accounts of rupees 35.8 crore, various schemes of mutual fund rupees 395.3 crore, fixed deposit of rupees 30.1 crore, investments in tax-free bonds of 76.7 crore, rupees 5 crore in preference shares. With regards to receivables, we are at rupees 83.2 crore against 89.2 crore previous year. During the quarter, there is a gross addition of fixed assets of rupees 2.9 crore, consisting primarily of rupees 2.6 crore on computers, rupees 0.23 crore on vehicle, 0.08 crore on software, and rupees 0.01 crore on office equipment. Now, I will hand it over to Swati.
Thank you, sir. With this, we are now open for the question answer session. I will now hand over to Harpreet. Over to you, Harpreet.
Thank you, Swati. So, participants, with this, we will open the floor for Q&A interactive session. So, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. I'll repeat, to ask a question, please press 0 and then 1. I'll repeat, participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and then 1. So we have a question from Samarth Singh from TPS Capital. Samarth, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Please, could you, I know you hinted a little bit about the attrition rate still being high and pressure on our employee costs. Could you put that in context with, you know, with the news that we're hearing now that you know, there's been a slight slowdown in terms of layoffs starting in the U.S. With tech companies there, and will there be some sort of follow on from that in our employee costs as well?
Yeah, thanks for this raising this important question. The situation continues to be extremely volatile with both the kind of news coming in. You get to hear the news about layoffs, and you also get to hear news about some of the big players increasing the salaries substantially. So we must say that we are at loss at this juncture. And we are keeping a very close eye. We are trying to optimize things as much as we can. That's about it that we can say at, with some clarity.
So what was our, I'm not sure if this was mentioned, what was our attrition rate in quarter four, and how did that compare to quarter three?
It was slightly better. 36% was our attrition rate, annualized, and it was better than our earlier annual rate. Earlier quarterly attrition rate.
36% was for quarter four.
Yeah.
Annualized.
Okay. Okay. That's the kind of
annualized, not for the quarter.
For the quarter, 9%.
Yeah. Okay. For the quarter, 9%. Okay. Okay. That's
yeah.
That's
helpful.
And could you talk about where we are in terms of given our escalated costs, in terms of passing some of that costs on to our clients?
Okay. So rather than passing on the cost, we have looked at it from an overall perspective, and we are definitely looking at pricing as a significant area to be worked upon. We have started working on it, and at the moment I would say that we have tasted success with a couple of our clients, but then we plan to do it with more clients. Just to clarify, we are not taking it as a initiative to pass the cost to the customers, but looking at how our products are valued in the market. So it's kind of, even internally, it's a exercise in assessing the value that we are delivering to.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry for that interruption. There was a false fire alarm in the building.
In 15-16, I believe we spent a significant amount of money in launching FinOne Neo, and the assumption was that it would be a top of the notch product, and a product like that would allow us to get the correct pricing in the market. If I'm just looking through the profitability from per region, and I think besides India, there's no other region that's currently profitable. Can you just help me explain? I'm not being able to understand why we're not being able to get the correct pricing for our product, so that we can, earn a, normal return.
Okay, I would say that the FinOne Neo product so far, largely the traction is from India market. That's what we experienced. We have installations outside, but they are not in such large numbers. So that's why you don't see that effect. The other part of our business, which is revenues around product from earlier product as well as services, that definitely has taken a hit because of the attrition that we have faced.
Okay. So what you mean to say is, as far as FinOne Neo is concerned, we are getting the correct pricing in the market. It's only our older products where we are not being able to pass on our elevated costs.
Yes, that is true. But even for our older products, we are not limiting our pricing exercise to only FinOne Neo. We are going back to older customers also to for revisions.
Okay, thank you. I'll come back.
Next, we have Vaibhav Barjatya from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, again, on the pricing. Yeah.
Your voice is a little low.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a better. It is better.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah. So on the order book, if I kind of relate your earlier comments on pricing to the order book. So with the pricing changes, does not indicate that, on the existing orders, we have any kind of price revision because our order book is mostly flat. So when you say that with some of the customers, we have secured price revisions, we just wanted to understand why it has not been being reflected in the order book.
Yeah, I think couple of as we have just talked about just couple of customers that is the reason it is not visible in the order book. We do hope that by next quarter and next quarter it will start becoming visible in the order book also.
Got it. And on the lastly on the revenue for the quarter. We have seen quite a significant jump. So, can you explain if there is kind of one-off or large order execution which has met the revenue milestone, or what has kind of suddenly resulted in jump in the revenue for the quarter?
All right. As we mentioned, it is a combination of slightly better pricing that we've got from a couple of our customers, and then. Yeah, execution of some of the projects also, the regular execution of some of the projects, and it also is the reflection of some of our old standing projects which we completed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And lastly, the number of employees as on 31st March that we have, total number of employees.
Tapan, you have the number?
Hello?
Yeah.
So question is, how many employees were there on 31st March 2022, is it?
Yes.
1,829.
And what was there in 2021, March 2021?
It was 1,932.
Okay, that's it for myself. Thank you.
I'll repeat, participants. If you still have any questions, please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Samarth again from TPS Capital. Samarth, your line is unmuted.
Thank you for the follow-up. So in the two geographies of Far East and that we have as Far East and Southeast Asia, it's been a loss-making for us for the quarter as well as for the year. So can you just talk about, and I think revenues have also dropped there. So what is happening in those two geographies?
Anurag, you want to
take this? That, Anurag. Yeah. So, the major impact had been because of the increase in the personal cost, as we have already updated upon that. However, while we were having the some of the challenges in the bandwidth, the good part is that the customer confidence is quite intact. In these two geographies, the immigration has also opened up. As the customer confidence is intact, we are expecting new projects to come up, and with the open immigration, we will be able to quickly deliver those projects as well to increase the revenue back to the initial level. And that's why in this quarter and the next quarter, we are seeing an increase. We are expecting an increase, and the current trend will be reversed.
Yeah,
for almost so, 1.5 years, both these geographies, for one half years, both these geographies were completely controlled and closed from the immigration perspective. So earlier we had the projects, or rather the engagements at hand, which we could not deliver, or rather there were deferred plans to deliver the same thing. Now with the, as I mentioned, with the opening immigration, we will not be having any issues in executing these programs which are in hand for us and which are anticipated in coming months, and that's why this trend is expected to be reversed.
Okay. And in terms of marketing, what are our our main focus geographies as of today?
And we'll continue to focus on our existing geographies for the time being, and we are we have initiated our market research in let's say Europe for the time being, and we're getting some queries from the North America also, so we may initiate some research there as well.
So we have spent some significant marketing dollars in Australia. Acceleration there in revenues as well. Could you talk about, at some point I thought we had gained a lot of traction and then, doesn't seem to be converting into revenues at this point.
We were glad to let you know that our second implementation in Australia has technically gone live. Soon they will be business live also, and then we expect that the third customer also goes live in the next quarter, and with these three customers being live in Australia, we hope to gain next level of traction in that market.
Plus,
so,
Australia is sorry, just wanted to add to what Vishnu said. Australia is also a region which was completely closed for 1.5 years. And they are also now opening up. So with travel starting, both in terms of customer engagements as well as delivery capability, I think what you are referring to, that we should see a positive impact on the revenues as well in the coming months.
So revenues for quarter, at least from Australia, is just basically sort of there's no implementation revenue in there. It's just AMC revenue. Is that understanding correct?
As of now, because of the travel, etc., the implementations have slowed down a bit. And so, one of our customers is going through a merger.
Oh, okay. So one of the three out of the three customers, one of them is merging.
Yeah.
Okay. And the merger will be with one of our other customers, or just.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So is there a possibility of us to get that business as well of the merged entity?
We are certainly looking forward to that.
Okay. And so if you could just, talk a little bit about, Neo Cloud, how that is shaping up, and, at what point do you expect to get to, some sort of substantial revenue where we will break that out in the financials?
Anurag, you want to take the cloud question?
So the second customer we just referred about going live in Australia, where the business will be operational towards this month end, is on cloud only. In addition to that, in Far East, we have gone for multiple cloud technologies implementation for some of our leading customers. So from both products and services side, we are expecting a significant upside in the cloud line of business in the coming quarters.
Okay. And anything in India?
Definitely. India had been our strong customer base, and the focus will be in India as well. But in addition to that, the international markets, we will be also focusing for cloud. So India goes by default, and the traditional markets as well.
And there was,
and additionally, in India, there is an interest from some of our bigger customers also to go on cloud.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. these are the banks or the NBFCs?
Both, I would say.
And so, you know, historically, we had a post-launch of FinOne Neo, we were targeting largely new customers. And I think besides HDFC Bank, you know, the other banks were sticking to our older product. So has that changed now, and is there a significant opportunity?
Yes, it is certainly changing now. Yeah.
Okay. So is there any way to sort of define the scope? What sort of opportunity is there in terms of moving our old customers to FinOne Neo?
Yeah, in fact, I would like to say that most, if not all, they would want to move to FinOne Neo because the ultra-rich functionality that our new product brings over and above the rich functionality that FinOne itself has, with 467 APIs, it gives a crazy amount of flexibility to our customers to integrate with the rest of the ecosystem around. And this is on top of very rich functionality flexibility that has been built into FinOne Neo, bringing our almost 35 years of experience in retail lending, understanding the retail lending business.
Right. I was just wondering in terms of the opportunity, if you could tell the number of your clients that are currently on the old platform that would possibly move to FinOne Neo over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it could be 50 plus.
Okay. And how many clients are there in India in total on on the FinOne and FinOne Neo platform?
We may not be able to share that number.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we have Vivek Ganguly from Nine Rivers Capital. Vivek, your line is unmuted.
Thank you for the opportunity. You all had a very good quarter at about 150 crores of revenue. Given the challenges that you'll have faced in the past, my question is divided into two parts. One is, can we expect this 150 crore of revenue per quarter kind of to become the base quarter on which y'all will grow? Second is, y'all are at this $65-70 million range, and y'all have been there in that range for quite some time. So aspirationally, and also from the perspective of the market that you all can address, what is possibly the revenue targets that you all have for the company over the next 5 years time frame, and what are the threats to those? If you can share some light on both these things, it will be very helpful.
Okay. So firstly, I'll start from the last part. As Swati mentioned in the beginning, we don't give any projections. Now I'll come to the first part of your question. Yes, we had a very good quarter financially. That is thanks to the efforts that all of us made, some initiatives that we took. However, as I mentioned, it's not that the challenges are over. They continue to be there, primarily the attrition challenges that continue to be there. Very difficult to predict. Of course, the kind of, I talked about the the substantial increase in our personnel costs because of two successive heavy increments that year. So there is, of course, we have to, I would say there is no choice but to grow at a faster pace. But since the situation, the market dynamics are, they are so dynamic, it is difficult to predict. In any case, we don't give predictions, but definitely from an aspirations point of view, as we are talking in response to last query, it's part of our plans to move as many customers from FinOne to FinOne Neo as possible at a faster pace. We are working on migration toolkits so that those migrations become very smooth. So a lot of our product focus is now to create that, enhance that migration toolkit to such a level that those migrations. So we're working on those lines. So apart from the functionality, how those migrations become. So that is going to be one very significant drive that I would say in this year and the years to come. Definitely aspirations is there, but where we'll head is difficult to say. We're taking it quarter by quarter.
Thank you.
We have a question from Vaibhav Barjatia from Honesty and Integrity Investment again. Your line is unmuted, Vaibhav.
Yeah, thanks for providing the follow-up. On the employee cost, which is now working 111 crore that we have. So is there any one-time bonus included there, or all is like, you know, regular normal bonus is there? I just wanted to understand if there is a kind of one-time cost that is there currently in the current quarter.
No, it is not one-time. These are regular increments. But okay. I'll just repeat what I said in my initial remarks, that we have advanced our increments by 3 months. So the increments have been done as of January. That's why the impact has come in this.
Yes. Okay, that I heard. That's it from us. Yeah, thank you.
I'll repeat, participants, if you still have any questions, please press 0 and then 1. Once again, to ask a question, you need to press 0 and then 1. We have a question from Dipesh Lakhani from Dolat Capital. Dipesh, your line is unmuted.
Hello.
Hello.
How could we pull out such a large growth in this quarter? Does this include large new license wins in this quarter? Also, what is the outlook for near future? Do we have more pent-up demand that can be serviced as our execution was weak in the last previous quarters?
Yeah, so as I think Vishnu sir had responded earlier, that it's a combination of multiple things that gave us this impact in the last quarter. That there's not one thing, a combination of pricing and completion of some of the projects which were long going on. So that's one part. Projections, again, repeating that we cannot give, but yes, as I mentioned, again in my initial comments, that there is definitely a lot of traction from the market. Almost all our customers have something that we can do for them, a lot of things that we can do for them. It's whatever we can deliver, it's limited by that. And for that, as I said, the 400 plus freshers that we had hired, we are continuously working on getting them productive at the fastest place. Many of them have already become part of the workforce, and the rest we are trying how soon we can get them onboarded so that they start to deliver what our customers are expecting. But traction point of view, there's no dearth.
Okay. And secondly, actually I missed it. What is the current attrition now for Q4?
9%.
Last quarter was 9%.
Okay, and expected attrition in the coming quarters?
It's highly unpredictable because the market is still very dynamic.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have a question from Vivek Ganguly again from Nineverse Capital. Your line is unmuted, Vivek.
Yeah, thank you. I have two questions. One is, in this, the year ended, what has been the spend attributable to sales and marketing, and how do you all expect that to grow going forward? The second one is, you know, which are the large consultants like IBM, Accenture that you all have in your ecosystem who are also your, you know, sales come implementation technology partners? Thank you.
Attempting to answer your first question, I think we are going to increase our marketing expense substantially this year, essentially to ensure that the positioning deserve is there in the minds of our existing and prospective customers. And
so what was the spend in this year?
It's around 5 crores.
And about, you know, the large technology partners that you all work with?
We have initiated some efforts in that direction. And we do hope that during this current financial year, we'll be able to get going with at least one partner.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Next is Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Rahul, your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations to the management for a very strong execution. Just wanted to understand, I'm sure this question has been asked in various form and is difficult to give any outlook. What I essentially want to understand is that there has been some disruption that we saw because of headcount issue and some aberration because of the ransomware incidents a year back. Now, I'm sure on the ransomware side, we are completely out of that situation. And even on the attrition side, things are relatively better. Your inputs on 2-3 things would be very, very helpful. First, how we were able to get such a huge revenue in this quarter from a QOQ point of view? Is it like there was some culmination of milestone on the implementation side, which we were not able to execute and were able to bill in this quarter? That is point number one. Secondly, are there significant traction coming from the point of view of overall demand in this quarter as well as in upcoming thing? Because you said the environment looks very, very good. And thirdly, from a pure attrition point of view, we are already halfway in this quarter in Q1. So have you seen any moderation versus what you were seeing in Q4?
It's kind of a repeat. Yeah, I agree. So the jump in revenue is a combination, as we said a couple of times earlier, combination of pricing and yes, culmination of some long going projects, some milestones being achieved, definitely. Traction, very strong traction from the market. I said earlier, almost all our customers are wanting us to do a lot of things, so there's no dearth of any demand. And your third point was about
attrition being half way in this quarter. Has it eased down versus March or that quarter?
Marginally, I would say, very marginally. So the only thing I can say, since we've done this increment in advance, we will hope that it is better, but you can't say.
And also on the macro side of the thing, you think that given the situation that has played out during COVID and now a few quarters after kind of COVID situation, banks and NBFCs are incrementally looking toward the modernization of the core system and lending application, or you think this is general positive but there is no structural that you could read out of this situation?
No, clearly, you know, all the banks or most of them at least and NBFCs also, they want to leverage on digitization as much as they can. You know, for example, some of the banks now want to call themselves fintechs with a banking license. So it has gone to that extent, and this is not a case with just one bank. Most of them want to leverage technology in a very major way. And the kind of you know, leveraging that we have done in our FinOne Neo product and Finaxia product, leveraging of technology, technological advances, they are open to explore this possibility at the earliest, at least some of them.
Right. And just last one from my side, related to this two product that you said, firstly on the FinOne Neo side, you were also mentioning some bit in terms of how the transition is happening, where you're asking clients to convert from the FinOne to FinOne Neo. What are the kind of an upside that we are seeing, if we can give one or two cases where that, what were the AMC recurring revenue that we were having versus when they migrate to FinOne Neo, what kind of an upside we can see in that account?
Obviously, we will not be able to give you any specific numbers, but we can generically tell you that you know, the because the Neo functionality is far more advanced, the pricing is also similar.
I could not capture it. So what I am trying to ask, in case my question was not clear, is assuming there was a customer which was paying 100 rupee as a AMC being using our FinOne services for, let's say, last 10 years. Now he intends to move to a much brighter solution, which is FinOne Neo. What could be the potential revenue stream from this customer over the next few years, assuming he moves to a cloud version of it?
All right. So, your question was very clear, and the way I responded, and which is what I will repeat, is we would not be able to give you that number except for the fact that the functionality that we have on FinOne Neo is many times more.
Right.
So that's the only answer we would be able to give you.
Okay. So essentially, sir, what you're saying is that because it is a far more feature-rich and powerful solution, it will give enough reason for customer to migrate from the older version to this version. And of course, there could be some upside from revenues, but difficult to quantify or share with us. Okay. Lastly, from the Finaxia perspective, we used to earlier very specifically announce some of the deal wins related to product specific success, and we used to see Finaxia also featuring in the IBS ranking. Unfortunately, we were not able to see wins coming from this product in that league table for and not even in the press releases that you publish for the shareholder. Just trying to understand what has been the traction in last 3 years in this particular solution.
Yeah, so last 2 years, the COVID years, we had minimal addition of new logos, but all our existing customers are very happy with what they are able to put to use to service their customers. So now that the COVID is behind us, hopefully we propose to get active on talking to our prospective customers, and we hope to come back to you with some news.
Right. And lastly, sorry for extending my questions. Just one thing on the AMC side, any ballpark estimate you could give that on the total revenue base, what could be coming from AMC component?
No, unfortunately, we do not give those breakups, so we'll be continuing with the same policy of.
Or maybe
not
if you could
AMC.
Share the total number of active customers who are paying AMC.
No, we may not be able to share that either.
Okay. Thank you, and I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you.
So at this time, there are no further questions from participants. So I would like to now hand over the floor back to Swati for final remarks. Over to you, Swati.
Thanks, Harpreet. Now we would like to thank all the investors for joining us today for this call. I would now pass it over to Vishnu sir for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Swati. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your keen interest in nuclear software. We take this opportunity to reiterate our commitment to add value to all our stakeholders in years and decades to come. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you all the speakers, and thank you all the investors for joining the call. That does conclude our investor call for today. You may all disconnect now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you.